Welcome to my commentary on Peter's first epistle. This section, chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. The first sentence here takes up two verses, verses 10 and 11. We need to know that it's not an easy task translating New Testament Koine Greek into English. Neither is it an easy task to translate Hebrew that we see in the Old Testament into English. These languages had no punctuation marks as we know them today in English. For example, commas, colons, semicolons, and periods. So translating sometimes produces pretty long drawn out sentences as we see here. So verse 10 says, concerning this salvation. This is the salvation by faith that Peter had just talked about. It's a salvation that was being tested by God through suffering of persecution on these believers. They were truly saved. They were saved by faith, but their faith was being tested. And it's this salvation that Peter's speaking about here that he says, the prophets, meaning the Old Testament prophets, who spoke of the grace that was to come to you. The prophets not only spoke about judgment, judgment on Israel, judgment on pagan nations. The prophets spoke about a time when God's grace would come on this earth. Now we know from many passages the end result, the climax of this grace is at the end of this age when Jesus returns. But there is a number of prophecies concerning the Messiah that speaks of his suffering, Isaiah 52 and 53 being probably the most famous. It is these prophecies concerning the suffering Messiah who demonstrates mercy and grace on the cross that provides this New Testament salvation that is by faith alone, that is by trusting one's life to Jesus. Peter says, the prophets prophesied of this grace that you guys now have. Now, he was speaking to a particular group of Christians, but when he uses the word, the pronoun you, secondary aspect to the pronoun you means you and I, because we are recipients of this New Testament grace. Peter goes on to say that these prophets searched intently, like they really tried their best. They searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ. Now, note that it was the Spirit of Christ in the prophets. This is interesting for a couple reasons. First of all, we have the term Spirit of Christ. We need to understand, and many Christians haven't thought this one through, they think of the Holy Spirit as being the Spirit of God, and maybe in their minds they think the Spirit of God is the Spirit of the Father, which is true. But we also need to know the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they are so intertwined that you cannot separate the Spirit of the Father from the Spirit of Christ. And it was the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in these prophets that predicted the sufferings of Jesus. Jesus himself, through the prophets, was predicting his sufferings. And then Peter goes on to say, and the glories that would follow. What does that mean? The prophets spoke, predicted of the sufferings of Christ, the Messiah, and the glories that would follow. Well, this is my thinking. The glories that would follow, first of all, would be the believers. And that would be just the beginning of the glories. The glories that would follow would include the climax of the result of the cross of Christ, which in the end is the new heaven and the new earth as seen in the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. If not for the cross of Christ, there would be no believers. There would be no return of Jesus. There would be no thousand-year rule of Christ. There would be no throwing Satan into the lake of fire. There would be no new heaven, and there would be no new earth. So the ultimate fulfillment of the sufferings of Christ are the glories of Christ, those things that I have just mentioned. Peter goes on in verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. The prophets understood, according to Peter, that what they were prophesying about was not necessarily for them or for their generation. And if you read the prophets, you will certainly see that's true, because much of what the prophets prophesied was concerning a future beyond their generation. Now, some of the things they prophesied was specific to their generation, but a good majority was beyond their generation. Isaiah prophesied in and around 735 BC of things specifically about King Cyrus of Persia. By name, he spoke about King Cyrus of Persia. And that prophecy didn't come true for another couple hundred years. So the prophets spoke and served the people in Peter's day. Here we see the pronoun you again. The prophets weren't serving themselves, but they were serving you guys in Northwest Turkey. Northwest Turkey as we know it today. And again, we can see the pronoun you in a secondary meaning, you and I, because we are benefiting from the same prophecies that the prophets spoke about. Peter goes on, when they, meaning the prophets, spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you and by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So we have the word preached here. Somebody preached to these people. It could have been Paul. It could have been Peter himself. There's a good chance Peter spoke and preached to these people in the area in which he's addressing this epistle to. And we mentioned that in the introductory remarks. Remember, Paul in Acts 16 was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go into a good segment of this area in which Peter is addressing his comments to. And it could possibly be the reason why the Holy Spirit said no to Paul was because Peter was there preaching. The preaching of this gospel was to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. There is no preaching of the gospel apart from the Holy Spirit. It's like this. The Bible that I hold in my hand at this present moment is filled with God's specific words that he wants us to know. But they're just words in a book. Unless these words are carried to the hearts and minds of people by the Holy Spirit, they are just words. The Holy Spirit takes these words and empowers these words into the lives of the believers. And these particular believers needed it because they were suffering greatly under tremendous persecution. This is something Christians today need to know because we are in an epidemic of biblical illiteracy. Christians today, for the most part, generally speaking, do not know their Bibles. They hardly read their Bibles, let alone study it. So when those Christians find themselves in a similar state of an antichrist culture, they will be in severe trouble because they will not have the knowledge of the Word of God, the words we see in our Bible, they won't even have the knowledge in their head for the Holy Spirit to take hold of and empower them through the rough times. So the Holy Spirit is vital, necessary. He is just essential to bringing the Word of God, the gospel, to the hearts and minds of those who need the gospel. This section closes. Even angels long to look into these things. We see a glimpse into the world of angels here. Peter says angels want to look into the things I'm talking about. The salvation of humankind, the message of the prophets, the preaching of the apostles. The angels are intently watching what's going on. I picture the angels, if you want to picture the heaven in fairy tale language, I picture them hanging out on the walls of heaven, looking over with binoculars down here on earth, trying to see how the Holy Spirit is working in the lives of people on earth. We know that the angels have a role to play in the ministry of God on earth. The first chapter of Hebrews calls them ministering spirits. Angels are ministering spirits, come to earth to do the will of God, to support the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit on earth. We see Michael and we see Gabriel in Daniel. When Daniel was praying, both of these angels, Gabriel and Michael, were fighting their way through to answer Daniel's prayers on earth. So Peter gives us just a little bit of a glimpse into the whole realm of angels. They are a created being. They are with God in heaven, but they have a job and a responsibility to be ministers, to work alongside the Holy Spirit on this planet. This concludes this section.